good to see each of you. For those in the auditorium, you saw some movement right as we began, and that's because Doug let us know that the sound was not broadcasting, and we appreciate Doug allowing us to repair that problem. And with appreciation for Doug, we look forward to his health improving and him being back with us very quickly. This morning, I'd like to think about preparing to teach God's Word with you. On January 9th, 2005, this congregation began wanting to make a difference in the lives of people in the community by teaching the gospel of Christ to them. Today, 17 years later, we're still focused on sowing the seeds of the gospel and doing the work that God has given us to do. As a congregation, we continually desire to become aware of ways to explain God's Word to others. Today, I'd like to simply review some thoughts on teaching God's Word to others that I need to hear. Frankly, what I have to say makes me uncomfortable because I realize I have been comfortable too long. To begin, I found the following quote expressing a Christian's opinion. There is no more urgent need in the church today than for Christians who can and will talk to people about their soul's needs and about the Christ of the gospel who satisfies that need. Doesn't that sound like a today type quote? Well, interestingly, this quote was written by Homer Haley 71 years ago, and we must ask ourselves if things have changed. I don't think so. As Christians, we believe that God sent His Son to earth as our Savior, who offered Himself as an atonement for our sins. We believe this because God said so. In Luke, the 19th chapter, verse 10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Christians believe this because someone shared God's word with them, and they then learned God's will, and they obeyed God's instructions. God wants this to happen. Christ said in Matthew, the 11th chapter, verse 29, to learn about Him. It says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest unto your souls." If we do learn about Him, there's going to be a benefit to us, isn't there? People today are crying out for personal peace in their lives. Christ is the answer. Brother Haley also said, "Upon everyone who has learned, the Lord has placed the responsibility of telling others what he has learned." We're familiar with God's instruction to us in the Matthew, the 28th chapter, verses 19 and 20, where Christ instructs his apostles, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Key words in this are the words "go" and "teach." I checked some other translations, including the New International, the English Standard Version, the New King James, and the King James, and they all say the same message. So it's pretty clear, isn't it? Go, teach. Haley also said, "The vast majority of Christians have never dreamed that the command is personal, individual to every child of God, that it is His responsibility to go into His own personal world and declare the saving message of the gospel, the soul-saving message of the gospel to every creature." Too often we don't think carefully about this verse and what it says, and we mistakenly think this instruction does not apply to me. We think our preacher or our elders or someone else, our Bible class teachers, will tell others about Christ. Disciples can only be made by teaching. And the early Christians understood this instruction applied to them even before the time of the apostles' lives ended. The early Christians understood they needed to share the gospel, and they became seed sowers to the world by sharing the wonderful news that a Savior had brought hope to all mankind. In Philippians, the second chapter, verses 15 and 16, we learn that the children of God are to be above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. You know, this doesn't happen by accident. It takes work. Like the Christians of the first century, we also have a responsibility to tell others about Christ. Unless we teach today, how can there be disciples who have learned what they need to know to be saved? We are commanded to go and teach, and this can't be done by someone else. While it would certainly be easy for each of us to mentally transfer this duty to our preacher and some of our more gifted members, each of us has a responsibility to serve God by telling others about the gospel within our own personal world. In the balance of our study, I want to suggest ideals about what I can do. I have to first look at myself in light of God's instructions to go and teach others. I suggest to you that we each can commit and mean it when we say to ourselves, I can teach God's word. Given that we each have different talents, given that we each have different responsibilities and abilities, given that we each have different opportunities and skills, there's something that we can do, regardless of age, regardless of health, regardless of circumstance. So let's very briefly think about how we can all work together to teach God's word in a way that reaches more people than in the past. If we're to teach others, or even help to teach others, we have to prepare ourselves. Moses said to the people of Israel in Deuteronomy, the sixth chapter, verses 4 through 7, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up." When we love someone with all our heart, all our soul, and all our might, it affects what we do, doesn't it? This instruction is so important. Jesus repeated it in Mark, the 12th chapter, verse 30. As we think about the phrase in Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter, verse 5, that says we are to love God with all our heart, it carries the ideal of the total of what we are. All our heart, it's a total focus on doing God's will. We do that by ever increasing desire to share God's word with others. So to apply this, I have to ask myself how I'm doing in loving God. Moses' instructions is important. It needs to be a part of our way of life. I have to devote myself to loving God. And verse 7 says, "You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk in the way, by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise up." I need to teach this to my family and to all with whom I come in contact. Can you do this? Let's think. I can. As we continue to talk about preparing ourselves to teach others, a great example of preparation is Ezra. In Ezra, the 7th chapter, verse 10, it says, "For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to practice it, and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel." Now, doing this doesn't happen by accident. Ezra, in the 7th chapter, verse 10, first says he prepared himself by setting his heart to study the law. We can do the same. We've got God's Word. We can prepare ourselves by studying God's Word. For example, Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." 2 Timothy, the second chapter, verse 15 says, "Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, "All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good deed, good work." Can we each study God's Word? Say, "I can." Let's each agree that we can. Ezra then said that he would practice it when he learned what he had learned in order to please God. So can we. Paul said in Colossians 1, 9 through 10, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." You know, we sing the song, "Living for Jesus." Can we practice what we sing? Let's each agree, "I can." Finally, Ezra taught God's will to others. Isn't that what we were told to do by Christ in Matthew, the 28th chapter, 19th to 20th verse, by practical application to ourselves? Given that we each have different talents, can we agree that we can teach others or help teach others or find ways to support those who are teaching others? Let's agree, "I can." All right, think about the so what. We've talked about the need to teach others that Christ is our Lord and Savior. Using the example of Ezra, we've talked about the need to prepare ourselves by first devoting our heart to the Lord, learning God's will, and living in a godly manner. Finally, we've just said that once we've prepared ourselves, God expects us to share the gospel with others. Can we shift this responsibility to someone else, or can each of us find our own role in doing this? Well, I believe, regardless of how timid and hesitant some may be, there are ways we can each share the gospel with others, either directly or by going further than ever before to support others who are willing and able to talk one-on-one and share the gospel. So, given that our talents, our skills, our wants, our wishes, our abilities, and attitudes all influence what we do, let's consider what we can do to teach others. I personally don't think I can talk to people one-on-one as well as others in this congregation. So, where do I start to do what God instructs us as individuals and as a member of this congregation? What can you do? My suggestions for each of us are pretty simple. First, commit yourself to evangelism. In 2 Peter, let me back up just one slide. In 1 Peter, the second chapter, the 9th through 10th verses, we read, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Does this describe us? Christians are the people of God and need to commit to proclaim to the world God's greatness. I can do this. You can do this. Say to yourself like I must say to myself, I can. Given that the Bible teaches us, like Ezra, that we can prepare and we can practice and be ready to teach, and that we should be committed to sharing the gospel, and given that we each have different talents and abilities, let's just talk about some things that will allow us to each contribute as members of this congregation to be more effective in evangelizing others, in reaching others, and doing the work that we must do. Interestingly, these thoughts that I'm going to share with you came from a sermon by Olin Holderby of Church of Christ in Alameda, California, many years ago. In talking to Brother Holderby, I learned he does not believe in retirement. His ideal is there's work to do, and now's the time to do God's work. By the way, Brother Holderby was 90 years old when he told me this. I share these ideals with you because they seem to fit with preparing, practicing, and teaching God's will. They're basic, but together they'll make a difference. To begin, let's first say, I'll do my best to attend every service. Hebrews 10:25 encourages us to be in service. Don't forsake our assembling together, but be present. Why? Encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. Secondly, I'll attend all classes arranged for me. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of God. That's the second time we've read that in this service. How can we handle God's word accurately and carefully if we don't study it? Our classes help us understand God's word. For those of us that are parents, I will see that my children attend classes arranged for them. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Bible classes help our children learn God's instruction. Face it, children today need all the help we can give them to learn God's will. Romans 14:19 says, so then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. So the fourth point I would make to you is I will come to the classes prepared, and so will the children. How much effort do we put in to preparing for Bible class? In our auditorium class, we've begun a study of 1 John after finishing a study of 1 and 2 Peter. How much time do you put into preparing to be in class, knowing that we'll be studying 1 John, the first chapter, this coming Wednesday night? Are you going to read ahead and study that chapter and meditate on it so that you will be able to participate? The teacher is going to do his part. What do we need to do as our part to build one another up? I will actively participate in classes and respect others in class. Why? All things must be done properly and in an orderly manner. I'll participate in these classes and respect others. I realize some of us are more comfortable asking questions than others. Some of us are more comfortable commenting on a passage than others. But what about actively listening or reading the passage as we study it? What about taking some notes or thinking and meditating about what the passage means to you? I will engage in worship with interest and reverence. John 4:24, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Our heart and mind must be involved. God deserves and demands our best. Again, you may want to take notes as you listen to Doug's sermons or any of the sermons delivered from the pulpit. There are thoughts in there that we can meditate on and learn from and apply. I will plan my giving. 1 Corinthians 16:1 through 2, on the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper. Our family lives change. We need to review the circumstances when things change. And that includes in the way we support God's work so that no collections be made when I come, as the verse says. I will work to build up the local congregation. We see this in an example in a parable of Matthew, the 25th chapter, the 14th verses and following, where it talks about a man's about to go on a journey, and he calls his slaves together, and he gives one 5 talents and one 2 talents and one talent, each according to their ability. And then when he returns, he wants to know how they use those talents. We each have talents. It didn't turn out so well in this parable for the one who did not use his talent. How do you think it's going to turn out for us if we're not using our talents? We have to ask ourselves, am I using mine? Or are you using yours? I will be sure my fellow Christians can depend on me to cooperate in scriptural work. Galatians 5:13, through love, serve one another. What does being dependable mean to you? Certainly it means meeting your commitments, whether it's making announcements, serving at the table, reading the Bible, teaching a class. I suggest to you it also means singing when we sing, praying when we pray, listening at the right time, helping one another evangelize our community. Regardless of our age, regardless of our health, we can be friendly, enthusiastic, encouraging. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Some of us find talking to others easy. Some of us don't. But we all know how to smile. We all know how to say good job. We all can say it's good to see you today. We all can listen. We all can forgive. I'll try to endeavor to schedule classes with non-members. Our evangelists and elders and other members here are prepared to help you with this if you're not comfortable meeting with someone else. Matthew 28:18 through 20 says, go and teach. Doesn't it? This is the focus of the congregation, to go and teach others. It has to be the focus of each of us as members of the congregation as well. Regardless of age, regardless of our health, I will pray for our mutual labors to win others to the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. It is God who gives strength. It is God who gives the increase. It is God who provides for us physically and spiritually. We need to pray for what we need to do God's will. God answers prayers. Maybe not quite the way we want, but He will answer our prayers, but only if we offer them. I will ever uphold God's truth under all circumstances. Regardless of age, regardless of our health, we can uphold God's truth. Jude 3, beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. Serving God is not a one-time effort. We are not called to be comfortable. Our job is to work until Jesus comes. And we sing a song about that, don't we? Question is, will we work? I'll be sure my priorities put first things first. Regardless of age, regardless of our health, I'll be sure my priorities are on the Lord. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Have you done a self-evaluation lately? How did it turn out? If you haven't, isn't it time to do one? Regardless of age, regardless of health, I will be a good example to all. 1 Timothy 4:12, "Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech conduct love, love, faith, and purity. Show yourself an example of those who believe." Now, I grant you, some of us with gray hair and aren't quite as young as some of the others in this room, but I'm sure you can add this to your list to be an example to others. Each of these actions that we've just listed contribute to the building up of our congregation, and they support our congregation's ability to teach others about Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Notice that regardless of age, regardless of health, regardless of abilities, several of these actions are things we can do. Are there any of these items in this brief list on which you need to work harder? There are for me. What do you think this congregation will be like if you do your part in working harder? Do you think we will build one another up in the most precious faith and teach other people the gospel? What do you think? Early in the lesson, I quoted Homer Haley, who said, "There is no more urgent need in the church today than for Christians who can and will talk to people about their soul's needs and about the Christ of the gospel who satisfies that need." We, you and me, can do this. We can teach others by our example each day, or by being supportive of other Christians who teach, or by teaching others ourselves. As a start, let's invite people to services. Send out cards and letters, email them, call them. In John, first chapter, verse 46, this is the Gospel of John. Nathanael said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip responded, "Come and see." Let's ask others to join us at services. Good things happen here. Let's say to them, "Come and see the gospel message." Remember, God told us in Romans 1:16, the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. What do we do when we're excited about something? We tell others about it, don't we? Are we excited about the gospel? If so, we need to invite other people to come and see what the Bible says about Christ and salvation, don't we? As we work to do this, let's challenge ourselves to build up ourselves and to build up one another as we sow the seeds of the kingdom. As we close this lesson, there may be someone present who has never obeyed the Lord, who has learned that Jesus is the Christ, who believes this with their heart. They're ready to confess Jesus as Lord, ready to repent of their sins, ready to be baptized for the remission of sins. If this fits you, all things are prepared this morning. You can start a life of faithful service to the Lord this very day. If you are a Christian who needs the prayers of the church, we can help. Now is the time. This is the place. Won't you respond as we stand to sing?